near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the near post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. With me in the studio, Paddy Bertrand. How are you, Paddy? And Lucy Zelich, oh, can't see you, Lucy. Hasn't turned up. Never mind. Okay.
Stuck in the camera traffic.
No doubt. Absolutely awful out there tonight. Now, we're talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network, and I hope you enjoyed the few promos that we played before. Coming up in the first half hour, we're going to talk all the issues of the week. The camera bid plays its ace card, crowds, the sleeping giant, the marquees. We've got the more personal four on the road, Townsville investor reshuffle. Lucas Neal has found a club. Stay with us to hear the best rap of the A-League in the world. In the world. Yeah, I wrote that line myself. You can contact us on email at nearpost2xx@gmail.com and catch the podcast on the blog www.nearpost.blogspot.com, and of course it's also available on iTunes. If you're not on iTunes, where are you? Now, we dedicate the show every week. This week we're going to dedicate it to a father and son combination. How lovely. It's a touching moment. It's a moment of history. Bernie Lustiger is our one of the Near Post hosts. He's on every second week, and he was up in the Gold Coast this weekend when his son, in the Central Coast, when his son Stephen Lustiger, who is also from Canberra, where this show comes from, Stephen came on as an 18-year-old, and Bernie did the same when he was 18, making his debut in the National Soccer League for Canberra City, I think it was then, like back in perhaps 1977. So, and they are the youngest father and son combination to ever play in a national league. Daniel and Joe Mullen from Adelaide being the others, but I think Daniel possibly was 19, or if he wasn't, Joe was 19. So Bernie and Stephen got 10 minutes. He's part of the Australian under-18 squad, so he's one to watch, and Bernie, no doubt, will keep us informed. So well done to them. Now, quiz question this week for you, Paddy. I've got a couple because, you know, you're on your own, mate.
And maybe we could have more quiz
That's just what you wanted. Okay, the two quiz questions are, name the scorer of the first A-League goal ever, and, while you're thinking about that one, who scored the last Socceroos goal? Name the scorer of the first A-League goal ever, and who scored the last Socceroos goal.
Socceroos in Asia, will they make it to the cup? The near post will wish them luck. The near post will wish them luck.
I think Lucy must have been scared off by the quiz question. So, Paddy, any ideas? The first, which one are you going to take first?
Right, well, I'll take the first A-League first, but I'll say I have no confidence in either of these. These are early days. We're looking at
Dwight York.
They are early days, but I suppose if you're a Sydney fan, Dwight York did score in the first game, but he didn't score the first goal. He scored in the first Sydney game, but he didn't score the first goal. That was Archie Thompson in that game.
Archie Thompson?
That was a Sunday game, I think, and there's a game on a Friday night. So I'm going to give you a half a point for that.
Okay, and I'll take that half point, and I'll move on to the next question.
Okay.
What was it?
The next question was, who scored the last Socceroos goal?
The last Socceroos goal? Was it Kisnorbo?
It's Paddy Kisnorbo, hey! A man after your own namesake. So yes. Well done, Paddy. And well done, Paddy Kisnorbo. His last Socceroos goal, not just because it was the last Socceroos goal, because it will be his last Socceroos goal.
Yeah, he may not be scoring to him anymore. I wonder if he's got that bandage off his head yet.
No, I suspect he needs it in Leeds. Ellen Road fans are a bit tough, so but Leeds are going quite well. Anyway, who scored the first ever A-League goal between Adelaide United and the Newcastle Jets on a Friday night at Energy Australia Stadium when there used to be crowds of 9,000 people turn up?
Right.
Carl Viet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Carl Viet.
Carl Viet. Ah. There you go. So, okay. You didn't do bad, Paddy. You got half a point out of two.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll take what I can get.
Okay, we've got some news. Starting off this week, we've got shock, horror, Mark Viduka. Is he still retired?
Is he going to go on to Melbourne Victory and do a quick stint there?
No, I spoke to a football player Of some note.
Just a football player.
No, not just a football. And he said that one of the Viduka rang him, and one of the things he suggested Viduka was if he came back, he'd be concerned about kicking somebody out of the Socceroos.
Right.
Which is a nice thing for Mark Viduka to say.
That is nice. But I'm not so concerned about that.
Get nicked. We don't care who you kick out. Get fit.
Paddy Kisnorbo, perhaps?
Paddy Kisnorbo, Scott McDonald. Does he ever score? No.
I think he scores for his club, doesn't he? Every now and again?
Yeah, not enough. I think he has retired. Okay, we've got more news.
Okay, Lucas Neal has a club, and it's Everton, as predicted by me earlier on the show.
Yeah, you
nice.
Months ahead of your time, Paddy. Fantastic. Well done.
I am, in fact, months ahead of my time.
Australian Aston Villa defender Shane Lowry is taking up a 3-month loan deal with Championship Plymouth Argyle, apparently to boost his attempt to get the World Cup. I think they just add that to every story about every Australian player.
Pretty much. It's to be fair, if you are an Australian player playing overseas, you've got a decent chance of making the squad at the moment.
You do.
Former Adelaide United striker Nathan Burns has scored on his home debut for Kikira as they defeated Ionikos in the Greek second division.
Well done, Paddy Bertrandonopoulos. Well read, those Greek pronunciations. Superb. North Queensland Fury are in trouble. Chairman Don Matheson has announced he will oversee day-to-day operations. He's going to be a busy man as part of a restructure to shore up the club's future after investor Mitch Burke exited. Bit of a worry there, Paddy.
Yeah, very much so. If they don't have the big money behind them, it'll be very difficult to pay Robbie Fowler, the richest man in football.
Maybe Robbie Fowler could pay them there and take over the club and own his first never mind the houses. He could own a club.
Seriously, there's the investor right there.
Apparently, Don Maston's flying to England, but maybe he just needs to have a chat with Robbie. And from the Middle East, Michael Beecham is off to the UAE Al Jazeera, or hopes to be, as Albert give him the boot, and Beecham obviously needs to start playing football as well.
The young Socceroos flew out Monday, beat Trinidad but lost to England and the USA in friendlies. Czech, Brazil, Costa Rica in the real deal in Egypt starts for the Aussies Sunday, 2:45 a.m. All games are live on SBS. And what I might do right now is put a shout out to my partner Amy and say sorry for the times where I'll be waking her in the morning to watch those games.
Paddy, that is fantastic. Sorry, that's fantastic. That is awesome effort, and I'm sure your partner will totally understand, if not be joining you.
Oh, I'm sure she's keen as.
As a true Aussie, 2:45, that is the worst possible time. Although, you can just say to Amy that the some of the games start at 6 in the morning, which is a little bit
right. Bad. Okay, so, you know, there's some pluses in this.
There is. Melbourne Victory have signed Marvin Angelo from Costa Rica, another midfielder that's obviously got a great agent over there in Costa Rica.
Costa Rica's done some good business.
Keep coming over, don't they? So he's cover for Billy Selesky, and he'll get some clearance soon.
There are other countries, right, in South America?
Apparently not. Not from Melbourne. They got them. Ernie had the Atlas out.
And that's right, they stopped at Costa Rica.
So there you go. Yeah. He was lucky to find South America, apparently. Yeah. All right, that is heaps of news. More news than you could ever possibly want. Now, we've got... what are we going to talk about? Well, first of all, I'm going to talk about the crowds. I know we're not supposed to because, you know, it's all positive, but we were talking off air, Paddy. It's a worry for you, isn't it?
Yeah. We're talking about it. I'm worried. I have been for a while now. The NSL, the AFL, getting towards the end of the season. And we're not seeing an increase in A-League crowds. Crowds are the indicator of how the A-League's doing, and frankly, I go so far as to say it's not doing that well.
Well, okay, I'll just play, bounce that one back.
Devil's advocate.
Well, I'm not so much of a devil.
It's a role I've seen you take before.
15,000 in Adelaide is a good crowd. It's one of their, I think it's their best crowd for many years in a normal A-League season, so that was a good crowd.
Yeah, Adelaide do very well.
Yeah, Sydney got 10,000 against Newcastle. Sydney notorious for getting poor crowds.
Yeah, but in the city the size of Sydney, do you think they could find more than 10,000 people who like a game of football on the weekend?
That's true. Good point. Who else? Brisbane have severe problems. It seems they've lost 4,000 or 5,000 people purely because they've put their tickets up. Yeah. Not just up, but they've tripled them. Yeah. So, I mean, any law of market demand, supply and demand, so that's going to happen. So,
well, it seems crazy to me that Brisbane should be putting their ticket prices up when we're at the beginning of the A-League. You know, it's early days in the A-League, trying to build that culture of people going to the football regularly on the weekend. Why are we putting prices up to cut them down like that? We want to build a build it and build as many people coming through the gates as possible. FIFA in South Africa, the Confederations Cup, got stuck right into South Africa for not opening the doors and letting people into the games for free.
Possibly slightly different because obviously the income of the people in South Africa, particularly the black South Africans, may not be so high. But certainly in Australia, I mean, Brisbane have been going for 4 or 5 years. If they're losing money hand over fist, you know, and the FFA have come on board, how much money can they continue to afford to lose? Having said that, I'd rather see 11 or 12,000 people there than 7,000.
That's right. It's a bit of an investment in its own way. It looks good on the telly. It shows people, you know, it shows that there's a great event going on and more people will be inclined to go along.
Paddy, the term sleeping giant, what do you think about it?
Are we I'm sick of the term sleeping giant. It's applied all the time to Australian football and frankly, I think we've got to deal with what we've got on the table. We've got a league that is growing and growing slowly. We've got to put the right things in place for that league to grow. Sleeping Giant carries with it the assumption that everything's going to be fine, that we're just going to steamroll into a sport that rivals AFL and NRL and rugby union for place in the sporting landscape.
The new process, there is no chance of us rivaling AFL and NRL in and the domestic football front. The soccer is fine,
yep,
but the A-League has proven after five years we're in real difficulty, and the clubs, the football is better than ever, I would say.
Very much so. Like everything about the A-League is great, apart from the crowds.
Yeah, so you know, we need to get some serious... I don't know what we do. I don't know. Right. I'm not usually stuck for answers, but I don't know. I mean, how do you... You know, we've had lots of people come and look at the games over the last 4 years, and this year you'd think with the cleaner factor, the fouler factor, new clubs... Most of the football people I spoke to, everybody has said they're more interested this season than ever. But the thing that, you know, to surprise everybody is the lack of crowds.
Yeah. Look, I don't know what to do, but I know what we don't do. We don't put the prices up and we don't skimp on the advertising, which is two things that I've seen the A-League doing.
Okay, well, we'll watch that one, no doubt. Now, Canberra sticks it to the FFA. The FFA aren't going to give a 12th licence to Canberra, it seems, unless... Well, I don't know, unless Townsville or Wellington or Sydney.
Unless something,
and even then they probably
quite extreme happens.
Yeah, so they're not going to get... But the ACT government, interestingly, have come out in favour of shouting loud for football, saying if you don't give us an A-League licence, then we don't want the World Cup, we're not going to upgrade our stadium, which kind of stuffs up the World Cup bid. So as a fan of Canberra football involved in the A-League bid, I love it. I love this
strategy.
You're
happy to see the ACT standing up for its own?
Yeah, I think so. I'm so happy to see them stand up for the community, for football, because it is, in the past, you know, football's kind of been out there on a limb, but here they're saying, well, hang on, we want the benefits of football. We're proud and we want this club. It stuffs up the World Cup bid. You're not too happy about that, Paddy?
No, look, I think it's football for Australia. I think the last thing we need to do is hinder the World Cup bid.
But
I do understand ACT's stand in this, and that they are looking after their own and they are trying to make sure that they get their A-League team up and running. But let's get a World Cup. If we've got any chance at all of getting the World Cup, and I don't know that we have the greatest chance in the world, let's do everything we can possible to get that going.
There's no point having a World Cup in Canberra with a brilliant new stadium that Rugby Union Rugby League can take advantage of if we can't have a team for the next 10 years and beyond that. For, you know, what's the point? You have four games watching England and Italy. Fantastic in those four games, if you're still hearing Canberra, Paddy. But there's no...
I think I'm going to get kicked out, feathered and chucked
who
out.
Who knows? But there's no... You know, so football is more than the World Cup, and the only benefits the World Cup brings to Canberra is if there's a team here to take advantage of it coming. So... I think it's a nice card the ACT government have paid. But let's see whether the FFA blink.
Yeah, I suspect they won't be too concerned and they'll negotiate their way out of it.
Well, the PFA, the Players Football Association, have asked for a second marquee player. So I read on a forum today that that would be fantastic. We could have a striker and a midfield of quality. Like John Aloisi in midfield as well as up front. But anyway, Paddy, what do you think?
I think they are crazy and I think maybe they drank too much before they put that proposal in.
Then they know what's going on around the league.
Yeah.
You know, we're struggling to kind of keep it together. The clubs are trying to compete with one another financially, and some clubs obviously aren't getting the crowds. The sponsorships are, you know, there's some difficulties there as well. The thoughts of bringing in another marquee player.
Did they not see the old NSL crippled by debt because of bad financial decisions and trying to bring players in on high wages? Let's keep what we've got. The marquee player works. You can have one investor. But you keep the salary cap, you've got a structured team, it keeps the teams even, and you've got an exciting league. Look at Well, I mean, we have that story came out today. And on the flip side, you've got Fury, who've just lost their key investor.
The FFA said they're not going to do it, by the way. But the other thing, Paddy, the other point is, if it's Melbourne particularly, or maybe Sydney, you know, if you've got a flop like Aloisi, it's the bigger cities that probably could afford a second club.
Yep.
Sydney bring in somebody else like, I don't know, for the sake of argument, Juninho. If Aloisi's not performing,
yeah,
you've got an extra, and it would add to Melbourne crowds probably if they could get an extra marquee.
Would it? I mean, yeah, it could possibly. I think Melbourne do reasonably well with their crowds. I think we find A-League teams are using their marquee players a little more sensibly. Fury sure have gone out for the big name, but you look at Central Coast, they're getting good, solid players rather than big names to bring.
Well, they can't afford a marquee, can they?
Well, yes, there.
I mean, Craig Moore's a marquee, but I mean, I don't think he brings in crowds.
No.
I'd say Aloisi doesn't bring in crowds. Mm. You can get through the list.
Archie Thompson. I don't think he brings in crowds. He's not nearly as big a draw card as.
No,
Fowler,
but he probably
is.
Or York. Yeah, well, he's not as big as Dwight, but then he's not getting paid as much either, in truth. So, anyway, we can chat about the marquee, no doubt, and we will in coming weeks. Okay, we're going to talk about the A-League round this weekend. Adelaide United versus Melbourne Victory, 2-0 to Melbourne Victory. Central Coast Mariners, 3, Gold Coast, 0. Wellington Phoenix, North Queensland, 1-0, 10,000 at that game. Sydney, 2. Newcastle Jets, 1. And Brisbane Roar, 2. Perth, 4 on the road. Now, Paddy, we'll start with the Adelaide-Melbourne game. You saw that one. A little bit of crowd trouble.
Yeah.
Dickheads.
Yes, I think that's a fair call.
I hate crowd trouble at sport, particularly at football. I can't stand it, and that's coming from a Celtic fan who have been involved in a few, not me, but I've seen a few Celtic Rangers fights in my time, but I can't stand it. Paddy, Adelaide-Melbourne, good win for Melbourne. Fantastic goal from Nicky Ward.
Yeah, it was. May have been a bit of luck with that goal.
A bit?
Yeah. But at least he gave it a go, you know.
It was a fluke. We called it a scross, you know, a cross come shot.
Yeah, yeah. I call it arsey.
Arsey, yeah. It was great. I loved them. I mean, watching it, I just couldn't believe it when the ball dropped in the net, the way the TV camera angle was, you know.
Good
win for Melbourne with Kevin Muscat back. They did okay.
Yeah, I think so. Melbourne had a few frontline changes and put Adelaide out a bit. And I was really, disappointed in a fatherly, paternal kind of way to see Adelaide revert to the long ball a fair bit. And I would have liked them to try and keep the ball on the pitch and play it through.
Nah, love the long ball, mate.
Yeah, there's nothing better than that. Than a good long ball that cuts out the midfield and
right.
half of the pitch
and
straight to the keeper.
Well, when it goes to Robbie Fowler and he smacks it in the back of the net.
I don't think that happens too often.
No, it doesn't. Mm. Grant Brebner scored a goal. Can't stand him as a player, but there you go.
That's unfortunate for him. I'll be letting him know that. He's big enough to deal with
it. He'll be listening. He'll have a bet on it anyway. Which way?
That's right.
Central Coast Mariners, 3, Gold Coast, 0. The Mariners thumped them. They haven't.
They did.
But the Gold Coast had a fair few players out. They made 4 or 5 changes again.
They've been talking themselves up in terms of depth, saying that they're a decent team and they can take this. But they played a goal up front.
Interesting story there, because Andrew Barisic, the young striker from Canberra, but played for the Melbourne Knights, the second or third string striker, I suppose, at the Gold Coast, got sent off in the youth game the week before for mouthing off at the referee. It's totally stupid. And of course, he's missed his chance because Gol got to play Abrante when Barisic probably would have played. And now with Shane Smeltz also getting sent off for mouthing, young boy there has probably missed 2 games where he would have got his chance to stake a claim. Just on the point of Shane Smeltz getting sent off, injustice?
No, not for me, or in fact for Shane, I felt. He fully deserved it. You know, you can't be having a go at the refs. That's just cheap shots. They can't go back. They can't have a go back at him. It's just the linesman sort of standing there taking the abuse that Shane decides to put out. And he got a warning. He got a yellow card on it. And then he got a second yellow card.
Well, the first one, I think he got a yellow card for running into Heffernan and having a bit of
It spent a fair bit of that time giving the linesman some abuse.
Right, okay. It is always surprising when players get stuck into in referees, and I think it's kind of one thing getting stuck into referee or linesman, and I think fair enough, they get the yellow card, but those guys who boot the garbage out of somebody, yeah, often get away with it. And it always used to annoy me as a player, even at a local level. You know, you get booted black and blue, somebody tells the referee to, whatever, and the referee takes the front, whereas the guy's just had his leg nearly taken off him. It doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, they're
two different things, but I'd rather see the guy who gets, the guy running forward and someone trips him. I'd rather see him giving the red or the yellow, because that's more about the skin of the game, whereas the other guy. But anyway,
my view is it's just a cheap shot at the ref, and the ref's got to be able to react.
The club should handle it as well.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, Schmutz is out now, so the club should punish him. If you're abusing the referee, that's a no-no. And I think the club should come down much harder on these players. So, the near post says, Shane Smeltz, fine him. Ban him.
Look, I agree.
The other separate sending off on the weekend, I think, was the Tariq Elrich got sent off, and that's been overturned.
I didn't see that one.
No, it was a little bit of a tap. His leg was a little bit high. There was nothing on, but he was sent off. And I think maybe to celebrate the end of Ramadan, they've overturned it for Tariq.
Right.
He'd had a tough time going without food, and perhaps he would do well to get his leg up at all. But no, there was absolutely nothing in it. So also in that game, Vignaroli did a bit of a dive for the penalty against Sydney. Stuart Michalak's touch was so useless that it deserved a penalty alone. Never mind the subsequent.
You're thinking penalties should be meted out on quality of play?
I think so. We'd have more penalties.
Yeah, there'd be a lot more goals in the A League.
People would
come and see that maybe this is the solution.
Could be. North Queensland Fury, I watched a bit of that game, like the last 5 minutes, and it was 1-0 to the Phoenix, and the Queensland Fury got a goal in the 94th minute. Only Wellington seemed to be capable of doing that each time.
They're making their career on it, aren't they?
But they're not about the thing about the two poorest teams in the league, Wellington and North Queensland, is they're not that bad to watch anymore.
I think they're quite good teams. Yeah. I think Fury are really coming together as a team. They're fighting hard. They're working hard. I think later on in the season, when the heat hits and playing the games up north, I think the Fury will start to win a few more.
Assuming there's still a club there after this week's financial.
I tell you, Fowler's going to buy him out.
He's
got some change in his pocket.
He must have. Brisbane Roar versus Perth Glory. You can't beat the Brisbane Roar. 3-0 against the Jets the week before, so they're absolutely flying away from home, and then they got flogged 4-2 at home. I mean, that's just Brisbane all over, isn't it? On the road, you think this team's going to get it together, and then bang. Liam Reddy had an absolutely fantastic game. I don't know whether you saw it. He was running out. He was saying,
"Hey." Till he made a name for himself, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, he did. What he was doing for the Wayne Schroe goal, where he ran out onto the edge of the box,
And Schroeder just chipped him. Yeah.
I think he should go down as an assist in that goal, because he made
the goal.
I think he did.
Yeah, without him, it wouldn't have been a goal.
And what are goalkeepers for if they can't catch the ball when it comes in under the bar?
You'd think that was something they would practice a little bit.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, being from a rugby league heritage, you'd think he'd have a little bit of extra.
Yeah, maybe he's used his hands a few times.
Yeah, but some of those rugby league guys, they go up in the air and they drop it like that. And I've seen them do that. And so, having said that, Harry didn't get a foul out of it.
Chris Corden, I know, that was a little bit harsh. Usually you go near a keeper in the box, and the keeper gets the benefit of the doubt.
I think that result flattered Perth, personally.
I think maybe so. I don't think that's the issue here. I think that Perth have got the points, and they've broken their away game hoodoo, and I'm very happy for that.
They are. They're up into fourth. I don't think they've been so high
for
so long.
The mighty Glory. Yeah, they're getting the nosebleed. That's how high they are.
Gold Coast and Sydney on 13. Sydney joint top of the ladder. And Branko Cilina had a go at Sydney FC coach Lavica, saying, Branko only gets paid $50.
Foreigner's jibe. So I don't know where that comes from.
You're on about the marquee there. I mean, if Branko's only, he said, the foreigner's getting $500,000, I'm only getting $50. Well, Newcastle Jets, I mean, they're certainly budgeting to their crowds there at $50 a piece. But anyway, that's.
Where's the marquee coach? That's what I'm waiting for.
The marquee coach. Well, there you go. Now, this week coming up, we've got Newcastle versus Perth on Friday night. I've enjoyed my Adelaide United Friday night games. I think they've been fantastic tradition that I've liked. So Newcastle better entertain me in the same way. Gold Coast Melbourne, that should be a big one on Saturday night.
Wellington Central. So keen for the Gold Coast.
Wellington Central Coast, Brisbane, Sydney, North Queensland, Adelaide. So some good games again. I guess we'll have a quick look there at Gold Coast Melbourne. What do you think?
Gold Coast Melbourne? Well, look at Melbourne. Where are they on the ladder? Third, fourth, last?
It depends how you look at it. They're in the top, they're in the top
I look
six.
At it from the bottom.
They're in the top six. They're fifth last. They're on 9 points. So if they won this game against the Gold Coast, which they could.
Gold Coast have got no strikers, so that's possibly going to hinder them.
Yeah, I reckon that might. There'd be a point behind the Gold Coast if they beat this. Wow. And Melbourne on the road are good.
Yeah, they've done okay. They're just not flying this season, are they? It's quite incredible.
It is, but they've beaten them. I mean, Muscat's back, and that made a big difference, I thought, to them, tighten them up a bit. Yeah, yeah. And they would beat Adelaide in Adelaide, and that's a good win. I think Melbourne are a much better team away from home. I think as long as they can sort of keep their defence tight, they've always got Archie. He's always likely, and Hernandez are always likely to.
Yeah, Hernandez can open up a defence.
I think so. You know? And I think it plays into their hands a little bit when the home team's expected to attack. So, should be a great game. Jason Kalina has been off form, I reckon, the last few weeks. He's coming back to the A League standards.
It's interesting. I thought Central Coast really cut down his supply lines. So, it wasn't that he. I didn't see him as off form making bad decisions during the game. I saw he didn't get enough of the ball and didn't get space when he had the ball. And that's what he has had in the past games.
They've got Joel Porter back and Zenon Caravella, so that will add.
Yeah, they've got Caravella back. I'm keen to see him go. I wonder how he will go because, he's reasonably inexperienced in that he's not a major recognised player, so he might have a dip in form.
Well, maybe. But I think with Kalina there, he'd like to add a little bit of. You know, going forward a little bit more threat. So anyway, it'd be good to see the Gold Coast back at home. Just on Jess Van Stratton, I thought he had a bit of a poor game on the weekend.
Oh man, his debut. What was going on?
If you notice, his kicking foot is the other foot. So I think he was using that to kick from the goal kick. So I think he was still injured.
I think it's important to set yourself a low baseline, and then now is nothing but improvement for Van Stratton.
Well, that's true. I mean, Juventus reserve keeper, you sort of think, well.
Oh, I thought he was going to be the business, and he really didn't show it.
Made Liam Reddy look
confident.
Yeah, okay. Brisbane, Sydney. Brisbane are hoping. This is their test crowd, by the way. It's on Sunday. The AFL's over. St Kilda will have won that by then.
Yeah, if ever they were going to pull in a big crowd, this is it.
Well, you would think so. I mean, this is the Brisbane-Sydney game. I mean, having said that, they got 20,000 for the first game, so they've still probably got a reasonable average. But it's just that every other crowd has been 7,000 or 8,000.
Yeah.
So.
Look, they've had some bad results, and I predict a Sydney win on that one. So I hope they don't get a big crowd and then have a lot of people go home disappointed.
Don't know how Sydney are second in the table. They're still flattering to deceive, I would say.
Yeah, I'd say so. And, being second, I think there's a few teams close to them, as you were saying. But I think the reason why Gold Coast aren't absolutely just legging it ahead of everybody is they've let themselves down, really.
They have. North Queensland, Adelaide, last game. I think Queensland will get a win there, and
you think Queensland will win?
Yeah, they'll flog them and take them well off the bottom of the ladder.
Right, okay.
What do you think?
I think you're wrong.
Oh, I think nobody said that to me ever on the show.
Well, we'll see next week.
If you go to the Near Post,
get in there first.
Near Post, get there first. The Near Post, get there first. Don't get there second. Don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first if it's for football news that you thirst.